that's me, Jesus. Your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercy.
KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
If you have your Bible, I invite you to join me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. God bless you today. So good to see you. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your diligence. I want to thank our masters and hold me down until I got back. We had another service in Ruston, and me and Brother Kuzan, and my God, I'm not arriving here no more, no time soon. But thank God we're here. Thank God we're here. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 10. I testify something, y'all. You can go a lot of different places, but there's no place like home. Amen. Amen. Are you glad to have a church home? Are you happy? Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. I'm in the New Living Translation. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. If you allow me very briefly to read that from the King James, I read the one I love, is New Living Translation. But King James, Old Faithful, says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The word of God for the people of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. The word of our God shall stand forever. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to tag this text this morning. Church, help me to hold on. Church, help me to hold on. Be so kind to a neighbor real quick. Say, neighbor, Oh, neighbor, help me to hold on. That was the wrong one. They got mad. Look to somebody else and say to them, neighbor, my last neighbor might let go. So I need you to help me hold on. Give the Lord a praise in this place. Church, help me to hold on. People are struggling. People are dealing with life. You and I ought not take for granted the many blessings God has provided us. We ought not take for granted the advantages we have in our lives. Somebody in this house thinks they have it bad, but I guarantee you can find four or five more people who have it a lot worse than you have it. You got to be very careful not to complain too much for two reasons. One, nobody wants to hear it. And two, complaining won't change a thing. All of us, if we chose to, got a sad sob story we could tell. But when we are the church of God, our challenge as the people of God who have been called out, who have been saved, our challenge is to help one another simply hold on until the change comes. I come to church. I come to worship. I come to assembly, not because I'm so good. The preacher will tell the truth today. Y'all won't tell the truth. I come because I know I'm not that good. I don't come to worship because everything in my life is perfect. Truth is, three or four of us come because we know good and well it ain't perfect. I don't come to church and worship to look good. You fill in the blanks after that. But I come when I don't feel and look good. This is not a fashion show. This is not some style and profile thing. Somebody today, you don't know this, but somebody you're sitting next to, their life is on the line. You have no idea who you're sitting next to. Somebody is maybe making a decision that could change the rest of their life. Somebody today that you're sitting next to or you're looking at, they are on a fine line between sanity and insanity. You don't know why people are alive the way they are. You don't know who showed up. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they've dealt with. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know their fears. You don't know their hardship. You got it good, but some people today are coming on their last leg. Somebody today saying, Lord, if you don't fix it, I don't know what I'm going to do. Somebody is trying their best to lose their mind, but they're in the house of God. They're assembling with other believers, and they need somebody besides the preacher to make up their mind and say, I need some help to help me hold on. Because if I don't hold on, I'm going to lose my mind. I love God, but I'm trying to hold on. I serve God, but I'm trying to hold on. I got problems at home. I got stuff in my mind. I got grief in my heart. I got bills that are due. I got sick is all around me. I just need some help. Somebody help me. Help me to hold on. I am, y'all forgive me. Y'all forgive me, please. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for saying this, but I am tired of church as usual. Y'all forgive me for saying, I'm so sick of folk looking at you crazy and got their nose stuck up in the air and got their chest all out. Look, I done learned by now. That's why I don't come to worship for people. I don't assemble for folks, because if you came for folks, I never would come again. If I had to come face some of y'all and look at some of y'all faces and shake some of y'all hand and deal with some of y'all attitude and disposition, I understand why people don't fool with us. Because it's hard to deal with people who are social in the club but stuck up in the church. Now, last night you wanted to jig with me, but now you don't want to shake my hand. It's something wrong. And I need, we facing life. We're facing life. Do y'all hear what I'm telling you? We facing life with some struggles and some affliction and some hardships. And I'm tired of folk judging every step I make, condemning every word I say. If I sneeze, I did sneeze wrong. If I do that, I didn't do that right. I need Jesus just like the next man. I need mercy just like the next man. And for some reason, the church is too hard on people. why folk don't fool with us. We too hard on people. Like we don't know what it's like. Lord, I better leave that alone. Like we don't know what it's like to suffer, to struggle. Everybody's not the strong Christian that you are. And so in order to make them stronger, you got to help them. And God has given a clarion call to those of us who say we saved. Because it's not enough anymore. Tell your neighbor, it's not enough. It's not enough anymore for just you to be saved. It's not enough anymore for you to be blessed. It's not enough anymore for you to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You ought to help somebody else be sanctified. Help somebody else be filled with the Holy Ghost. Help somebody else be saved. Show somebody else Jesus. I want to say this. A vast majority of people are trying. And they've given up on God because God's people gave up on them. And so Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, in this 10th chapter, he talks in the first part of this chapter about the high priest. Can the church say the high priest? The high priest. Because in Old Testament time, people kept going to the temple yearly and giving up animal sacrifices for their sins for the year. And then the preacher or the priest had to take these sacrifices and lay them at the altar and let you know it's all right. Year after year, messed up folk had to keep going to the temple and bring a sacrifice, and they knew they weren't going to do no different. I'm going to try again. They sacrificed because they felt and they got the sacrifice, then my sins can be forgiven. But they came back year after year. Missed it. If my sins were forgiven, why keep coming back year after year trying to sacrifice? So God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son as a once and for all sacrifice. Now, deep folk mad right now. See, the church folk mad right now because I'm about to tell you something that's going to free everybody in the house. That Jesus came and died in your place. That you and I had a cross with our name on it. We should have been condemned to hell, but God sent his son Jesus to die in our place so that when you do sin, you don't have to keep giving sacrifices over and over again, once and for all. Now watch this. Watch this. Sit down, because you ain't gonna like this. That's not license to keep on doing stupid stuff. What's supposed to happen is you're supposed to be so grateful for what God did for you, you don't want to cut up no more. You don't want to clown no more. You don't want to be foolish no more because he put his son's name on the line. He saved us. So here it is. So there had to be bloodshed. There had to be bloodshed in order to be a willing or equal propitiation for our sin. It's got to be some blood. So God says, I tell you what I do. I let my son shed his blood. So watch this. The Lord's blood doesn't just make it satisfied to God, but he messed around and cleansed you of your sin. Okay, so you didn't understand that. Watch this. Even with your messed up self, when you belong to God, God don't see your sin. God don't see where you messed up. All he sees is the blood that his son shed that cleansed you of all unrighteousness. That's why you got the same power to get up from your mistake, shake back from your mess up. I ain't got to stay in misery. I ain't got to stay in the ditch. I can shake back. Come on, tell your neighbor, shake back. You got the power to shake back. Now watch this. I want you to do something for me. I want you to do something for me. I'm almost done, really. I want you to do something for me. I want you to stop basing your life on people's opinion. I need you to do that if you don't ever do nothing else. I know that they are CEO, and I know they reverend, and I know they bishop, and I know they deacon, whatever. But I really want you to stop basing your life on what somebody has said about you. And I dare you to get in that word for yourself. I dare you to pray to God for yourself, and you will find out that he is your righteousness, he is your victory, he is your everything, and he sent us. Okay, let me tell you this. I don't know why I'm going doctrinal here, but if you were the offended person in this video, you still would have sent Jesus to die for your sin. For the rest of the year, for Jesus, for the black, for the white, for the Baptist, for the Methodist, for the lesbian, for the straight, all of us, he sent Jesus to die for our sin. Now, the writer of Hebrews, who many believe is Paul, is saying that you don't have to bring a yearly sacrifice. But he did tell them in Romans 12, you are the sacrifice. Stop bringing something and you ain't gonna be it yourself. And so we gotta be very careful about lip service without life service. Y'all know folks who come to the game. They can speak in tongues but can't speak in English. They lay hands on you in church and won't shake your hand at Walmart. Y'all know them, don't you? I tell you, I got your back. They sitting next to you. Just blink at me. Let me know you hear me. You are cleansed. The blood of Jesus. Watch this. Not no sermon. Not your good deeds. Not your offering. Not your tithe. That stuff don't cleanse you. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse you of your sin. And now he says, watch this. When Jesus died on the cross, the writer of Hebrews tells you this. See, y'all don't come to Bible study in Sunday school, so I got to get stuff now. Jesus died on that cross. And when he died on the cross, the veil of the temple tore. Before Christ died, you had to have some priest go to God for you. But when Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, the veil of the temple was torn. That means that you, with your won't say amen, with your messed up self, I don't care what somebody said about you. I don't care what sin you committed. I don't care what stuff. You have the opportunity to go to God for yourself. Because I'm going to tell you the truth about something. You can mess around and live enough life. You can't get to church. But what I love about my God, he's not just omnipotent. He's not just omniscient. He's omnipresent. I can pray to God in my car. Yes, I can pray to God in my moment. I can pray to God in the hospital. I can pray to God on the way to court. There's never a time you can get to God for yourself. And that's what the devil don't want you to know, and that's what some church folk don't want you to know, that you got just as much access to God as T.D. Jakes, as Joel Osteen, as Joyce Meyer. You got just as much as Ham. You got just as much access to God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you believe and live by faith, he'll hear you just like he'll hear me. You don't need a certain criteria for the Lord to hear you. But the Lord loves when his children cry out to him. Now, with that being said, writer now is talking to these persecuted Christians. These are people who are hearing this lesson under pressure. Can the church say pressure? Anybody know what it's like to feel pressure in your life? Decisions you got to make. Struggles you got going on, news you don't really like, realities you got to deal with. It's some pressure. And Christians got to learn how to live and deal with pressure. Because everything, I don't know who told y'all that when you're a Christian, everything go the way you want it to go. And when you take the root truth, when you mess around and get real, for real, for real, say, you talking about hell coming up in your life. You talking about devils coming after you. It's because the devil know where you're headed, and he don't want you making progress. New levels, new devils. So if you think that I'm going to come to church and I'm going to get in that water and come out, and by the way, that city water, no knock on the mayor, but that city water right there, And that water does not do nothing for you. It's a symbol of what's already took place on inside of you. Are y'all hearing me? So this is the knowledge that the writer wants these persecuted, pressurized Christians to receive. That you're still saved. You've got an opportunity to be the righteousness of God, that Jesus came and died for all of your sins. Past, present, future. Let me give you a little bit more Bible study. I'm going to get out your hair. Until when you're saved, you are delivered from the power. I'm sorry. The penalty of sin. When you become saved, that you are delivered from the penalty, because your Bible teaches you that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So because you're saved, you won't die. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You've got to know, see, that's why you ought to shout off being saved and not no car. That's why you ought to shout off being saved and not no money. Because if I don't have a dime, see, the money leave. Cars depreciate. My salvation stays. Can anybody thank God that I've been saved? I'm going to stay saved. Yeah. So I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Now, here it is. This is what church folk don't want you to know. That as you grow and live life, you're being delivered from the power of sin. That every now and then, even with your saved self, even with your Jesus is my co-pilot bumper sticker, even with your cross chains, even with you eating vegetables and pouring olive oil all over your children, you still got to deal with every now and then the power of sin trying to take over your life. Because mess around and catch me on the right, wrong day. Y'all missed that one. Catch me on the right, wrong day. And I'm not going to have the right, wrong reaction. Thanks be to God, he saved my soul. Because he saved my soul, he done saved some more people. Y'all missed it. Because he saved me, that saved you. Because if not for the power of God at work in my life, man, let me tell you the gospel truth. Because folk think, see, you got to be careful as Christians. Because we, once again, this text is to pressurize Christians. Christians under persecution. And ain't nobody the world coming for like Christians. Boy, he coming for the church in a way I have never seen before. He got us cutting up outside the church. He got us cutting up in church. It's stuff coming against you. People coming against you. You never thought would be against you. People lying for no reason, putting stuff on you, lying all over the place, coming against your children, messing with your family, messing with my money, messing with you. Got something to say all the time, looking at you funny, setting traps, plotting on you. And then you done messed around and found out. And now you got a question you got to answer. Do I get them or do I let you? Do I get them? I can't get them. I can't get them. Don't let me get them. I thought I was preaching to a real church. Because they're stepping in church with you. Done scandalize your name and sit next to you. Done dug a ditch for me all week and then come hug my neck so you can see how I'm going to react. See how I'm going to come to you. Done all this mess on you. Done brought this magic on you like magic on the tree. Done some else grin up in your face to see how you going to help it. The devil is a lie. I'm still going to bless the Lord with my whole heart. Tell your neighbor, I ain't crazy, I'm just saved. Oh, I feel glory in this place. tell them I ain't crazy. I'm just saved. His blood costs too much for me to get you back. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Ah. Thank you, Lord. I don't know where that came from, but that sure feel good. See, if here it is. If you can be dealing with all this pressure and then deal with it in the house, it's meant to make you not come back to the house. Because every now and then, even the greatest power tool lose power when it ain't connected. Every now and then, you need to go plug in and get recharged. And too many of us done let the devil stop you from getting here to recharge. And you come up with every excuse in the world why you won't recharge. And you're living off a dead battery. It ain't the devil, you got a dead battery. Because you won't connect to the power source. So here it is. I need the church. This is where the church comes in. Because with this understanding, with this knowledge, God has set and placed a prepared people to help his folk in these situations. There is a designated place that God has set for his people to meet, to strategize, to help, to recover, to restore, so you can go back out and handle the pressure. That's it. So I don't come here to play. I don't come here to be cute because I'm dealing with an ugly devil. And I ain't got no cute problems. So I got to handle ugly problems with an ugly worship sometime. I may have to take that wig off and sit it down next to me. I may have to undo some of these four-piece suits. I'm going to take some of these shoes off and take that mascara off and wipe off them brows and them doggone lashes that be waving at you. You might have to take that stuff off and get serious and lay out in front of the presence of God, because them demons ain't playing with you. That mess ain't playing with you. And you can't get out of this with no cute stuff. Church, help me to hold on. And if we're not going to help people hold on, we might as well turn these lights off, lock these doors, and don't come again. Here it is. Let me go and get through. Y'all ain't come for this. But I need you to help me hold on. Here's how. So I can enforce, number one, enforce the courage of my convictions. I need the church to help me enforce the courage of my convictions. Because he tells us in verse 22, in verse 23, that the Lord, if the Lord did this, and the Lord is faithful. Oh, y'all taking notes? Okay, I didn't know what to do with that cause. Y'all have been amen and everything for the last 20 minutes, and everything I got quiet, and I ain't know something. Y'all can't do the preacher like that, man. It's just definitely quiet right there. Even the babies ain't even saying nothing. They're quiet. God, I promise this to you. This is a promise from God that I've saved you once and for all. But there are times that come in your life you don't feel saved. Oh, man, life will happen to you so much you'll feel so far from God. Am I telling you? You'll go through enough stuff, make so many mistakes, deal with some people. You'll be like, you look in the mirror like, ugh. Have you ever had one of those ugh moments? When you know you done lived so far out of God's will, you just done got yourself in some place, and you just like look at yourself like, ugh. Okay, I thought I was talking to real people. And you have those moments, and you need to know that the Lord still promised something for you, and the deal is still on. And you need to be able to get to the filling station. Here's what he's saying. If I'm going to come to the filling station, at least have some gas there. And so when you come and you're struggling, you believe Jesus, you believe God, but everything in your life right now is contrary to that. And so you need to come be around some people who can help reinforce what you already know and what you already believe. Y'all got your Bible? Come on, let's take flight real quick. Let's take flight real quick in the Bible. So y'all can't say, hey, I'm be making up stuff. Lord, I don't. Okay. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Here it is. He does not say, let us hold fast the profession of the faith. Text says, our faith. Because I'm going to tell you something that you might not like. You're only going to go as far as your faith. You can't keep depending on Big Mama's faith for you. You can't keep rocking on Papa's testimony. You are at a point in your life by now. You ought to know the Lord for yourself. And anybody over 12 years old by now, you know there is a God. You know he will open doors. You know he will take care of you. You know he will provide. You know he will make a way. You know he'll let you come back when you're 16 points down in a game 2 days ago. You know there is a God. A profession of your faith. So here's the problem you have. Be very careful when you're struggling with your faith, hanging with unbelievers. Man, that tasted so good. I got to say that one more time. I think that might have hit the house right there. Because the problem ain't really the church. It's these other jokers you be hanging with. You hang with some roguish people, don't you? But they up closer in the crawfish line. So you keep your connections with them because it benefits you in some areas. She fine, but she ain't faithful. He handsome, but he ain't holy. And before you mess around, they don't influence you, and you ain't influencing them. Y'all encourage your pastor. Say, preach, pastor. I'm going to do the best I can. Hold fast the profession of our faith. What do you believe? Because at the end of the day, I don't care how much I pray for you, and I'm going to do that. But you got to stand before the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, you can call me on that day. Pastor, come up here with Jesus with me. Nope.
That's right. That's right.
I ain't coming. It's enough for me to go stand before him on my own. This ain't no buddy system. You got to stand before the Lord for yourself. Now, let's tell the truth and shame the devil today. You ain't need no help cutting up, did you?
No.
You ain't need no help cutting up. But now somebody, I shy when you're trying to get yourself together. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Oh, man, that wavering means you're inconsistent. Anybody feel that in yourself sometimes? That it ain't nobody else. It's just you being inconsistent. I'm not reading that word enough. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Snap. I'm seeing who had a fight on Snap. Who cutting up on Snap? Who on my live? On Snap. Following everything. And not having enough room to hear God's word. Not taking enough time to pray. Not feeding my soul. And you start wavering. And then when new thought processes come up, you run with it. New religion come up, you run with it. Because you're not rooted and grounded in the word of God. That's why today is really good for us. But it's not enough. You got to do more than a Sunday morning show up. Because last time I checked, enemy will come at you on Tuesday. Oh, man, I thought I was talking to him. The devil don't just mess with you on the weekend. You're not impressing the enemy by coming to church. You mess the enemy up by being to church every day of your life. Let's see. Y'all finna make me mad in a minute. So we need to reinforce the courage of our conviction. Here it is now, you ain't gonna like this one. But I need the church to help me hold on. And so in doing that, I need to embrace and connect with other Christians. I need it. You need it. Here's your problem. I can do bad by myself. Webby told you to be I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. Y'all ain't thinking I do by Webby? Right, that ain't Boosie, that's Webby too. I ain't finna argue with y'all about no rappers. I am a hood pastor, but I ain't that hood. I'm the man of God. I've never heard of those records you're talking about. Y'all ain't gonna set me up like that on air, man. You need to embrace and connect with other Christians. The problem is, you will deal with so much stuff, you're going to deal with shame and keep it to yourself. And now you're going to deal with not wanting nobody to know and keep it to yourself. You already have personal shame, and you're afraid of public shame. So you keep this stuff to yourself, and you suppress it. And you can be in the congregation and not be in the assembly. You can be in the number and not be a part of the body. Because body parts connect. You cannot be a part of the body and not be connected to other parts of the body. And when one part of the body feels it, the whole body knows. And you and I, we should be so connected as an individual people of God that when one of you going through, it'll resonate. Somebody in the body is feeling something. Let's pray about this. But it don't do no good to be done broke your arm and you can't hold it up and you say, I'm fine. Okay. You're walking around with your arm broke. You can't even shake my hand. I ask you, what's wrong with your arm? Oh, nothing. Now, everybody can see your arm ain't working normally, but you gonna still convince yourself and me ain't nothing wrong with you. I'm good. And that's how we are spiritually. You are broken. You are disturbed. Some of y'all are so depressed. Some of y'all are so filled with agony and adversity, but you won't let it out. You won't connect it. Because here it is, you're afraid of somebody talking about you. That's twofold. Let me give you a little pastoral wisdom. Y'all gonna let me pastor real quick? How many times I been in trouble? All right, good. I'm good. I got all kind of wild cards right now. Watch this. You'll be a lot more able to open up and not be worried about people talking about you if you will stop participating with other people talking about somebody else.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
See, the problem is y'all be in these other conversations about folks who are going through. So when your moment come, you're afraid of seeing you. You talked about their marriage, but now yours going through. And you know what you said about their marriage, and you can't handle nobody saying that about yours because you know the kind of stuff you said about people. Oh, ham. You told me that Christians don't get sick. You say, I ain't got faith because I'm sick. You caught COVID. And you wearing four masks. What you ought to know about trouble, my friends, is that it can happen to any of us. And it shouldn't be anybody to pick you back up like your own people. Brethren, if you find a brother, a sister, overtaken in a fault, it's Galatians chapter 6. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The only reason you saw your brother or sister fall, because the Lord knew who could pick them up. That's it. It was not for you to go and tell their business. It wasn't for you to sit there and put them out there on Front Street. It was because you ought to know how to cover your brother or sister like nobody else ought to be able to cover. I understand the world put me on blast. I understand people who don't know me put me on blast. But help me understand why people who I worship with, serve with, love with, been with, love to put you on Front Street without considering themselves. Your day coming, and you're going to want grace for you. But when somebody else is, you don't want to have grace for them. So when I come, I need to embrace and connect with other Christians. That's why even when we don't have, when we have worship service on 11 o'clock, you also have small group settings. You have your women's meeting, where women can deal with tackle some issues that they only women understand. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, I'm your pastor. But I am not your OBGYN. And there's some stuff y'all just ought not tell your pastor. And there's some stuff I'm going to tell you to God. No, I don't want to know about y'all. Oh, Holy Ghost, help your boy hold on right now. I don't want to know all that. Pastor, I got a problem. I had this issue. Wait a minute. Look, it's hard. You know, it's already hard enough to be in the spirit. I don't want to be preaching and then you done told me that. I'm trying to help us. But you won't trust the other ladies here. You know, women are all scandalous. Well, what that make you then? I don't know nothing about, you know, Mother Nature and all that stuff. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And I don't want to know all that. Far as I go with that is the one with the issue of blood in Mark 5. Other than that, I leave that alone. I just kept saying she had an issue. And the issue wouldn't stop. Lord, y'all don't want to. Well, you know, I don't trust young women all in your business. Let them tell you something. It's some people in your business you ain't paying attention to. The ones you need to be keeping out your business. Oh. So what he'll do is, I'm trying to let y'all go. One thing, we had the offering and all that. We done all, oh, well, I'm good. Listen. Y'all had Lord's Supper, y'all had communion. Man, I'm good. Let me go and preach. Me and Marcellus earned this. I earned this riding back with Marcellus. Y'all know the Lord brought me through. Listen. He will use one offense, and you'll throw the whole baby out with the bathwater. One person in the church hurts you, now the whole church suffers. But one fake friend at work, and you keep trusting them. Enemy tell you, yeah, that's how the church is. All them hypocrites up in there. Mm-hmm. That's how the church is. Now, I was in Walmart the other day, and I saw some people in Walmart that I didn't care for. And you know what I did? I kept shopping. I can't stand her. Let me go and get these peas. You missed it. I didn't come to Walmart for them. You got to learn how to connect, because guess what? But then watch this. Even if I have a cashier I don't care for, I can't steal. So I got to follow order and structure of it and at least do what I need to do to get through properly. Because I got a problem with the cashier, I don't just bypass them and walk out, because now I'm going to get arrested for shoplifting. And I can't tell the judge, well, I had a problem with the cashier. He said, but you didn't have to go to Walmart. But if you go to Walmart, you got to deal with some kind of structure. Y'all missed it. When you come to the church, it's somebody you may not want, like too much, but if you want the blessing from God, you got to still deal and connect with some people to do what you need to do. Stop using people as your excuse. Because, see, people can't be your excuse and your elevator. Man, Lord, how about a... Because God ain't going to remove people from the equation because he's using people to bless you. I would come. Lord, I would come, but you got a few of them up there that's... I ain't got no problem with you, Pastor Ham. It's just some of them people you got. I mean, I be wanting to stay and I be wanting to be a part, but you know, it's only two or three who can do everything. I was wanting to help out, but you know, you know, they already had their picks and chooses. I know I'm really preaching now, man. Lonnie, your boy preaching now, man. I mean, ain't nobody saying nothing right now. It's just kind of an awkward. I would come, but I don't want nobody judging me. I would, but you have not missed a day at work. Tell you something, I don't know how the mailman feel about me. Y'all missed it. Most time mailman come by my house, I ain't there. I just go and check the mail. Because they are delivering, they're providing a service that I need. And you got to get past this stuff by everybody got to like you before you can work with them. It's time for us to grow up, people. And stop trying to make everybody like you. And because, see, let me tell you something. Just because I disagree with you don't mean I hate you. Don't mean I don't like you. But you just wrong as two left shoes right now. I don't care what you say. 2 + 2 ain't 7. I'm not being disrespectful to my elders. You ain't adding right. And I ain't got to accept that because you old. You old and wrong. And everybody agreeing with me don't mean they like me. And you got to stop treating this ham. You got to stop treating the church like it's high school. The popular kids hang here, and the unpopular kids hang there. And we're going to bully the unpopular kids, and we're going to hang out with you. And we're not going to hang out with you. We don't hang out with them. Oh, my God. We don't hang out with you. Oh, no, we're not hanging with you. Oh, no, you don't do that. You're not a cheerleader. You're not a dance line. You're not an athlete. You're a nobody. Man, get out of here with all that. What makes you popular? Because you got some clothes. Everybody got clothes. I don't care about no name brand. You know what my name brand is? Clean and Iron. I wish I had somebody help me, man. Clean and Iron. Care about you laughing in my pants. Ooh, ooh. What are those? My clothes. Some kids here one day I had on some Crocs, and I guess they had some old school Crocs on. And they, oh, you got them old school Crocs. So what you talking about, old school Crocs? What are those? These my Crocs. You ain't got to wear them? Oh, Pastor tripping. Ah, you got them old Crocs. I don't care. I might not can afford some J's. I got some F's. And some of y'all need to get some J's and stop getting them F's on your report card instead of worrying about J's on your feet. Somebody shout glory in this place. Oh, man. Boy, I done messed around. That's not what the church is about, trying to look be a popularity contest. We're here to connect with people. We have a unique ability here in that we got a lot of single mothers who need help figuring out how to raise these young men and raise these young women. And we ought to be designed so to try to help and connect, meet that need. You got to look at what you got and work with it. What? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to let y'all go. Raise your hand here if when you were a child, you could be classified as what they would call bad. I ain't need all the sound effects, Bro Smith. We already know you still bad as an adult. Fig finna stand up, I'm really bad. You know you were bad. I ain't gonna ask you how you are as an adult. So how come you can't handle kids? Look. I know we got to teach them. We got to show them how to act. But everybody wasn't raised like us to, you bet not move in that church. I was the one who had the fear of God to move in church. And so we got to teach the fear of God. You can't sit here and beat down these kids. So you might have to see a little cracker residue. I know it didn't take that for me and you, but now, you know, I don't know if it's the medicine or what. I don't know what it is. They call it ADHD. I must have had it, but I got cured by a BELT. I got cured, and I ain't had to go back for no shot, no vaccine, or nothing. I got a once and for all, a once and for all blessing. Y'all remember that young man in Mark 5 who was crazy, cutting himself? The Bible says he was found sitting clothed. I don't remember no devils being cast out. I don't remember how many chains I had on me. I do know I was found sitting clothed and in my right mind. But it's going to take some teaching of discipline to help. But I don't want us running these babies off. Because a church that don't have any youth doesn't have any church. Amen. Because sooner or later, we're going to get out of here. So we got to teach them how to conduct themselves. Teach them a reverence from God. Teach them a reverence for the house of God. But don't run them off. Amen. It's all part of our connection with other Christians. So people can understand how to live this life. I need to know I'm not the only man that's fighting stuff. And so I don't come here to be talked down to and pretend like, oh, man, you be a man, be a man. I need to be able to come around five brothers and cry. If I'm got my family on the line, I got my life, I need to be able to come to my brothers and I ought to be able to lay in my brother's bosom and cry in their presence and know that they gonna got my back, they gonna hold my hands up, they know gonna fight with me, they gonna encourage me. That's what I need. I don't need nobody telling me, be a man. I am a man. I'm man enough to say I'm hurting right now. I'm man enough to say I'm fighting for it right now. I'm man enough to say I'm going through right now. I'm man enough to say I'm afraid right now. But can I find two or three men who are willing to help me say, right now, I got you. Look how many women got up on that point there, though. I know y'all just supporting us. I know, but kind of weird, though, kind of weird. And Ann caught it last. That's right. Yeah, she thought we was getting ready to go. All right. So he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Don't take this for granted these Sunday mornings. I'm going to be one of those weird guys today. I'm going to just go and be, y'all crucify me if you want to. I love the church. I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I love everything about the Church of Jesus Christ. I love the people. I love the institution. I love the individuals. I love the singing. I love the praying. I love the fellowship. I love the connecting. I sure enough love the Word of God because the Word of God gives me power. I love to be able to celebrate God. I even like to laugh in church. I like to cut up in church. See, I don't come to church and be stuck up. I ain't going to hell for laughing. I'm going to heaven so I can laugh. I love being a part of the church where I'm safe to worship my God freely, to tell God thank you because I've been going through stuff all week. And I'm glad to get to the house of God to tell God thank you, to be in his presence, to be in his word, to be in fellowship. I love the church. I'm not saying this to brag on me. I'm not saying this to brag on me. But I just could not let a first Sunday go by without me not being here with you to hear from me and me hear from you to be here with you. I could have either said I'm staying home, somebody else handling it. But I love this. I don't want to neglect it. I don't want to take it for granted. I might not get next Sunday with you. So I thank God I got right now to be in your presence. Watch this. Forget not the assembling of yourselves, as some do. Why everybody sat down right there and on that way? I mean, you had to do me like that. I told y'all by doing me like that. I just told how much I love y'all. Y'all sat down. No neglect the assembly of yourselves. That was pretty cool. I wish we got that recorded. Everybody just went and sat down and went like dominoes. Oh, man. Cause some people neglect the assembly. And we're in a world in a society where people just don't commit to this.